Hey, everybody. I want to thank you for coming and seeing me on the Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour. We've announced the second leg. It starts up in February, February 13th in Orlando, then February 14th in Tampa. Going to be in Buffalo, February 28th. Boston, March 6th, Philly, March 7th. Go to dansoder.com. The whole second leg, all the way through April, is on sale. All available at dansoder.com. I fucking love you guys.
I assume I'm always being recorded.
Yeah, that's
even
smart.
If I'm like that's a Chick-fil-A ever... drive-thru, I'm like, you guys are filming me. Because I don't know if you know my controversial Shia LaBeouf, He Will Not Divide Us video.
No.
Yeah, I was like, do you remember this?
Well, I remember when Shia LaBeouf went through a lot. The guy went through a lot.
So did I.
Went through a lot.
As a result.
Yeah. Well,
he was like in New York doing this like He Will Not Divide Us thing.
I remember that.
And there was like a 24-hour like live broadcast from where this was happening. And I was in New York just randomly doing shows. And I'm like, I want to meet Shia LaBeouf. I want to be there. And then, of course, I'm like indoctrinated the moment I step in. I'm like, He Will Not Divide Us. Like, I got so into it. And I forgot that like anything online stays online forever. And so,
by the way, stuff that isn't even online will stay online forever.
Yeah.
Because people will upload videos of shit.
So I'm just always assuming that I'm being recorded.
What was the fallout of that?
There's no, I mean, no fallout aside from like embarrassment and like pure cringe.
I don't know, man. I bet if you had Shia LaBeouf give a like pregame speech.
Uh-huh.
To a high school football team, they would run through a wall for that guy.
Oh my God, yes.
Because he has that.
Actors
can do that, but him specifically,
he's powerful. The way he speaks, I'm like, I'm in.
There's a guy that does an impression of him online.
I was about to bring that up, and I'm like, I'm not going to bring up internet stuff.
Bring up all the internet stuff you want.
Okay, great.
Hey, listen to me. I can't let you have this chocolate. Hey, I know you want it. Hey, no, I know you want it. Hey, but you can't have it. Hey, because there's some things in life that are good for you and some things that are bad for you. And sometimes the things that are good for you taste bad.
But that guy does... My favorite impressions are impressions of people I've never heard done before. And this guy does Shia LaBeouf perfect.
The Shia LaBeouf is like, great.
You've been doing me. That's comedy. All right.
I like that.
Just the way he does it, you're like, perfect.
And you could picture it. You're like, it's not just an impression. It's like what I imagine he would say, which is the best kind of impression.
As a guy that does voices, the only fun part is saying shit that you think would like kind of hit the reality of who
or
they are.
Or the other way where it's like so bonkers, like when James Austin Johnson does like Trump talking about like Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's also fun, having it be the full
having
opposite.
Friends that do voices is very fun.
Yeah.
When Shane and I would go on the road together, we used to do this thing. It was like 2018, so Trump was already in office.
Yeah.
But we would do a thing where we were driving of him getting Obama to call him, actually say the word.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I don't want to say it. And he'd be doing Trump and he'd be like, I love you. And I'd be like, you're acting like a real. And we just like get him to say words and go, oh, you said it. But having him do Trump doing that made me laugh so hard.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Cause he's just like very, he's like perfect at doing the voice.
Yeah.
So you're like, it would be funny if Trump said that, like, oh, I got you to do it. And you're like, that makes me laugh.
I feel like when I was a kid, I loved doing impressions. Mm-hmm. And then I think, I don't know if this is like a girl thing or just a me thing, but there's something clicked in my brain where it was like, do not embarrass yourself.
Oh, you know what? That's not a girl thing. Because I used to love to do voices when I was like very young because of The Simpsons.
Yes.
And I remember in eighth grade when it starts getting real, when you're like trying to get, I remember, it might've been seventh grade, someone being like, don't do that. Girls don't like that.
Yes.
And I'm going like, well then never mind. It was voices in pro wrestling. Like hide those things and action figures. It was like hide those things.
So then girls, when did you dip back in? When did you lose that like
weed.
Self? Oh,
when I started smoking weed a lot, and then it became fun. Then it became like I can do this voice, and it would be like Ralphie from The Simpsons, and they'd be like just Ralph Wiggum, and they'd be like, oh, that's fun.
Okay.
And then it was like smoking weed in college, doing like Family Guy voices, and you're like, oh, and then it's like you're past the point. It's just early high school, middle school and early high school.
Yeah.
You start acting like What voices did you used to do?
I mean, nothing like major. It was more like, I feel like mostly physical, where it's like, I feel like I could copy the way that people sing pretty well. Like I could do good impressions of people singing, and I'll like do it in the car with my boyfriend, because I'm like, this is a safe space. And sometimes, this is so embarrassing, sometimes like if I'm in the car with friends and we're listening to music, I'll like try and sound like the person to see if anyone notices.
Yeah, to go.
Just to subtly be like, huh.
You want the cookout. You want the cookout moment in the movies,
and I never get it,
where the old black auntie goes, come on baby, you gotta sing.
Yeah.
And you go, I can't sing. Yeah. And she goes, come on baby. Yeah. And then you go, and you,
yes, I get that.
I caught Sagalo doing a run. He was like, and then me and Katie made fun of it, and we're like, do you do runs? Uh-huh. And then now he'll do it as a joke, and it is so funny.
I could so picture that. And he looks, I don't even know how to describe this, but as soon as you said that, I'm like, he looks like someone.
He would have been in Sister Act.
He would be the only white guy in a black church, 100%. And everyone loves him. 100%. He doesn't even live in the neighborhood, but he
drives in.
Because he feels more a part of that community than he does at home.
Why are you coming down here and singing? And he goes, because I got the Lord in my heart. And they go, baby, and you sing like you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll do a thing where we're on the road where you go, hey, I'm about to go on a run. Do you guys need anything? It's like, because I always argue it's worse to be a singer than a voice person. Because a voice person, you could, or no, I flipped that argument.
Yeah.
It's worse to be like, if you're a singer, you can go like, can you sing me a song? If you're a voice person, you're like, can you do Rodney Dangerfield for a little bit? Mm-hmm. And they're like,
Well, and there's something about singing where it, no matter how good you are, it feels so try-hardy.
Dude, there's a great, talk about internet stuff. Did you see the guy that sets up singers where he plays the piano and the second they start singing, he stops? And they go, oh, it is.
That would crush
it
me.
It is so funny.
That would crush me.
He's like playing an outdoor piano or whatever, and a girl come up and be like, ah, and they'll go, no. And I'll just get up and leave. And he records, his phone's mounted. Yes. He records their face and they go like.
I could imagine myself building up the courage to be like, you know what? Just try it. Like, stop being so hard on yourself. Like, you love to sing. Just go up
there. Share your gift.
He's playing. He wants you to join. And finally, I get up there and I'm like.
And he goes, no.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as the internet, it gives you and it takes away. I read in the comments, someone was like, he tells them to sing and then does it.
Of course, I think same. Okay, I have like rules to life. Okay, one, you're always being recorded.
Great.
Two, every video that you're watching is fake. I think
it's very true.
And there's still joy in my viewing of videos, but there's always a skeptical side.
You should. That's the safe way of living your life. Yeah. That's you're going to enjoy things more by doing that than just like, there's this like romantic idea of just being unbridled and like, oh, I'm whimsy and I throw myself. He goes, that's how you get hurt.
Yeah.
That's how you get hurt, because you go like, this video is real. And then you find out, you go, the whole thing was staged. You look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I think the beauty of coming from a tumultuous home growing up is my skepticism. Yeah. And I think it's good. Yeah. I'd like to shout out.
I fucking get that.
Jennifer and Larry, because I will not fall for an AI video.
But,
okay?
Which I, the son of my tumultuous was different because they were getting fucked up. So I will fall for it because I go like, they're happy. And then I go, they're drunk.
God,
and you go, fuck. What was tumultuous about? Just they were just fight all the time?
No, it was just like, you know, alcoholism.
Shout
and
out.
Divorce.
Who was the bigger drinker?
My mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Mom, I was lucky. My mom drank and she, you know, we've had conversations. Yeah. I could diagnose it as alcoholism, but I wouldn't go as far as that. I would say she towed the line a couple times, always is capable of pulling it back. I'm lucky I had a dad that drank. I don't think I could handle a mom that drank.
Dads who drink rock.
They're so fun.
Well, and because dads, it's like you expect them to be bad.
Yeah.
Like no one expects a good dad.
Yeah.
And so when you're also like drunk, you're like.
You go, oh, there's seasoning on
this? Oh my God. Oh, what a silly guy.
Oh, what did you have? Too many?
He's a blast.
So alcoholic mom though.
Alcoholic mom. And I think it's like not even the alcoholic part. It's more the when you're a kid and the hiding of it.
So she would be sneaky about it?
No, because you could always, like, there's tells, you know, it's like a poker player. It's sure. like, you know the tells, yeah. so it's not that part.
What was your mom's tell?
Oh, if she cusses. My mom's not a cusser. She's a sweet woman. I love my mom. Everyone loves my mom who meets my mom. She's a blast.
Sure.
But if she's cussing, I'm like...
Would you have a couple?
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's like when people get drunk and they, like, start saying shit that's just outside of their realm where you go...
Yeah.
Why do you keep talking about water skiing?
Uh-huh.
And they go, I just want to go water skiing. You go, you never want to go water skiing. Yeah. Are you drunk?
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah.
And you know there was something in their childhood where they went water skiing.
Yeah.
And so now when they're drinking,
they got molested.
Like, we
got
to go on the lake.
We're going water skiing. You go,
I got to finish some things out on the water.
Fucked on a beach walk? Yeah. And they go, yeah, that's why. And I'm drunk. And I'm going to tell you about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So your mom, how old were you when you realized?
I don't know. Earliest memories.
Like, you see, your mom always was a boozer.
Yeah.
Always.
But I think the oh, we're going to dad's house this weekend. It's like, why? The suspicion arose. So I think now when I see videos, I'm always suspicious. I'm like, who's drinking in this video?
Yeah. Where are they hiding their
booze?
Who's
not picking me up from preschool today?
I don't think they're excited to meet that burn victim. Yeah. When you see a celebrity meeting that, you go, they're probably drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good skepticism. That's the thing that sometimes people don't talk about. Trauma can be beneficial.
I think it is.
Because it gives you almost like a spidey sense.
Yeah, you get special skills.
It makes you good at sex and it makes you horrible with trust. Like trauma.
Good at sex.
Well, some people can aim it, dude. Mm. Some people can aim trauma into sex and you go like... I remember in college, there's a couple of women that I was like, they would tell me about their past and you go, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You had sex like that.
I think I got non-sexual trauma. I don't think my trauma has helped me sexually.
I think it helps. I think it comes out in different ways. I think some people use like strippers. There's a thing like that where it ends up in stripper.
Kind.
There are other people that are like CEOs.
Yeah.
That got like beat as children. And then they go, I'll never get beat in a merger.
Yeah.
And you go, and that's how they became a fucking...
And I just got the trauma that makes me skeptical of fun viral moments on the internet.
And I got the one that makes me a little nervous to do voices of other people.
Uh-huh.
I got the trauma that made me go, I can't talk as my own voice. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can express myself as Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yes. Yeah. Don't you feel like as a closeted voice girl?
Yeah, which is, this is great to find.
Don't you feel like sometimes when you're doing a voice, you feel like you can tap into their psyche, like based on how they talk or like mannerisms, you're like, oh, I know why they're doing this. And you could be wrong.
I understand that feeling.
Do you know what
I think
mean?
It makes me want to use words that they use. And it's almost like, I never get to use this word in my regular life.
What's a fun word you like to use?
Like Sam Elliott, you can always use like old like cowboy terms where you're like, I'm a little tuckered out tonight.
I love tuckered
out. I might lay
out.
Down because it's not really agreeing with my stomach. You know, I would never say that. Dan would never go, I don't think that meal's agreeing with my stomach. What is that?
I'm a bit tuckered out.
I'm tuckered out.
I need to hit the hay.
I'm going to hit the hay. But if you're Sam Elliott and you're like, I want to hit the hay. I don't know if that steak's really sitting right.
I don't know what to do with my face while you're doing it.
But I don't like looking at you. Can I be honest? Okay, I don't even want to look at you. I'd rather go like this.
Because I'm enjoying it so much, but I'm like, should I be doing something? Like,
well, here's the problem with voices for me is I only enjoy doing them on podcasts because the people are listening. And if you do it on stage, then it feels very 80s and hack.
Where and you have like, to like mesh your set into a
and
way
like
to
find
do
a
it.
Way. And no matter which way you get into a voice in stand up, it feels fucking hacky.
Yeah.
Like you're like, that would be weird if he was here and he was. And then you're like, kill me.
Yeah.
I suck.
Yeah.
That feeling.
I have tried to weasel any way I can sing on stage into a bit. And so there's one joke. There's one joke I do where I like sing the punchline essentially.
Sure.
And I do think it's a good joke. And I stand by the joke. But the other day I'm so starved for validation and attention.
This is the trauma, by the way. That's where the trauma results.
Neil Brennan is sitting in the back of the Comedy Store, and I'm about to go on. And so I turn to Neil and I go, would you like give me some notes or whatever? Because really, and when I break it down, all I wanted was for him to go, you're good.
Yeah.
Good job. That's all I wanted.
You just wanted him to go, you're very funny.
Yeah. And he was the wrong person to ask.
Well, Neil will give you notes.
He gave me so many notes.
He's a fantastic writer.
And it was so helpful. And I did get the validation because looking back, I go, if he didn't think I was funny, he would not waste his time giving me tags. But my singing joke, he goes, you should just end the joke by saying, I just wanted to sing. I was like, yeah, that is what I want to do.
That's a little too on the nose. That one hurt.
Yeah.
Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to be that honest on stage, Neil.
You go, I was just doing that because I lack the feeling of validation because mm-hmm. my mother was an alcoholic, mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. I feel like I need to sing in order to get your, yeah, you don't want to end with all that.
Yeah, then I did try closing the joke because he's like, use it as a, like, you should just end the joke by saying, I just wanted to sing that.
Yeah.
And I tried it and it didn't work, so I'm just going to keep singing.
It's like what Colin would say to me. We were talking about jokes or whatever, and he's like, whenever someone gives you a tag and it works, you don't want it to work.
Oh, yeah.
You go like, and then if it works, you go, son of a bitch. Yeah. You're like, one time, I think Nate gave me a line, and it just absolutely made a joke so much better. And I was like, every time I tell that joke, I'd be like, I laugh. Saglo gave me a tag that he used, and I go, it fucking works.
But doesn't it feel so good when you give someone a tag and it works, and you see them do it multiple times?
I wrote that.
Yeah, that's me. All me.
I wrote that. I wrote that whole bit. Uh-huh. And all you did was go, say, bruh, at the end. Yeah. And you go,
it's like the least helpful tag.
Yeah. Thanks. I don't know. How are LA comics about tags? Because I know New York is like, most people are all right about it. I feel like this city, they would be like defensive.
Yeah, there's definitely like, I don't know if this is just everyone though, but like as soon as someone says, oh, I had an idea, your body tenses up.
I think that's universal.
Okay.
I think that's universal because when I'm in New York, unless it's someone I like love.
Yeah.
Like I'm a big fan of theirs. And if they're like, hey, you should do this, you go, oh, totally. It's the way like when hot women would tell me to do stuff when I was younger, I'd be like, yo, absolutely. I should get into synchronized swimming. Why aren't I into that? You're gorgeous and you like that. Yeah. I would just like whoever's in the room. And then you get older and you go, no. So now I'm more a little guarded,
mm-hmm.
but still I am like, what's your idea?
I always take it into consideration. Like I'll always give someone the time to tell me what they think.
Sure.
But it's rare that someone really nails my like voice.
You know what's funny is when something does work, you have to go like, ugh. I was at the stand and a comic was like, oh, you ever talk about bringing up the, and I go, I've tried it.
Yes.
And then I did it and I went, that worked. And then the next time I saw her, I was like, absolutely great note.
Yeah.
I had to like apologize. To be like, I thought your note was ass at first. Kind of like if the thing would have worked with Neil, you would have been like, fuck. And the next time you see him, you go, it works.
Yeah.
It really.
I would have been, I'm going to try it again just to honor.
No, I think you're already trying. You know, when you like don't want to do plans with someone and you like text or call and they don't call and you go, great, this is actually what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get out of this. That's where you're at with that.
I think
you can walk away right now and you're fine.
I think in LA though, the difference with like getting a tag is it's usually the most like delusional, unqualified people saying, here's an idea.
It's never
like people you respect.
It's usually not people that put years in the business.
It's just people who like happen to be at the Comedy Store for an open mic, who walked by the room when you were on, who are like, I have an idea.
Oh, my favorite one is when you put something out, like a special out, and then you get a fan that DMs you and goes, and this joke, you should say this. And you go, it's recorded.
Yeah.
It's out. And they're like, at that point, you should have gone like this. And those are the only people that I want to go like, come do a guest set.
Yeah.
Like, come do a guest set. Come do 10 minutes in front of me.
Have you ever had someone do a guest spot? Like, just a pure random person or for any...
Oh, for like a fan or anything?
Yeah.
No, I've been too scarred by that. I've had to feature for people where the MC was like... The one I always talk about is Nate did this club. I used to open for Nate back when my language wasn't so dirty.
Mm.
But he was doing this club called Junior's Last Laugh in Erie, Pennsylvania. And
is it still around? I've never heard of this.
Google it. It might be. But they did this thing where they were like, you can't curse. You can't say anything worse than shit. Like anything worse than shit.
Well, that's so weird because I feel like cussing is so natural. Ambiguous,
yeah.
Too, where it's like, who's to say what's worse than shit? Is bitch worse than shit?
Is ass worse than shit? Is.
But definitely. What if you're British?
Well, then
what
it's
if
just,
you grew up with a British influence?
Yeah, pussy is worse to them than pussy, and they're like, oh. And you're like, well,
have you ever tried saying the word fanny in front of a British
they
person?
Freak out.
Yeah.
They're like, fanny? Why would you say that?
I'm like, calm down. You're calling everyone a cunt.
Yeah, you're calling everyone. Yeah. And then you get like people who are like rural and they're like, what about coos? And you're like, okay. Well, that's not accepted anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, what even is that?
I don't know. I mean, I heard it. That's like bar like speak.
Vagina?
Yeah, a vagina. A calling it a coos.
I think box is worse than all the
box.
Above.
Box. Snatch is pretty tough.
Snatch is rough.
Snatch is, but is like, it's when you're not British, it is.
Yeah.
It is a tough one. That was the one I wasn't allowed to say at home.
What?
Fuck and prick.
Huh. Yeah, prick.
Prick to me is nothing.
Yeah.
But
I feel like your dad or someone probably got called a prick a lot.
It was my mom that was like, in this house you do not say
your dad died, right?
Yeah, but my mom, he was out by the time I was five.
Okay.
So it wasn't anything. But
yeah.
Oh, but we go to Junior's Last Laugh.
Okay.
It's closed.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I'm like, I've never heard of this place.
RIP. Shout out to Dennis, the guy that ran it. That was the guy that I knew. But this is like 15 years ago.
Okay.
This is right when Nate put out his Comedy Central Presents. And so we go on the road and we show up. And Nate like tells me, he goes, dude, you cannot say, like going in, we're driving to Pennsylvania. He's like, don't say anything worse than shit. He's like, it'll be a fun gig, but you can do it. Like, Nate has this belief that I should be a clean comedian.
Yeah.
And I disagree with it.
Yeah.
Every time he brings it up, I'm like, that shit's lame.
Uh-huh.
I like to say shit and fuck way too much. And by the way, he's not wrong. Sometimes I say it too much. When I'm working out new jokes, I go, too many cuss words.
Yeah.
So we go to Junior's Last Laugh. We're there. It's the Thursday show. We're talking. Dennis, the guy's giving me the whole, don't say anything worse than shit. I'm listening. I got it. Nate told me. Who's the MC? And he goes, this is when you see this guy Dennis go, we do this fun thing here where you could sign your friend up to MC. And I went, what do you mean? And he goes, so we pass around a bucket where we get the like cue cards that they fill out. You could sign your friend up. You got their phone number? You give them their phone number. We'll make them MC a show. You can come and watch. So it's like a Jackass stunt.
Yeah.
So they tell me, they go, your MC is this guy over here. And when I tell you that he looked like, and I'm not joking, I've said this before and I will say it again, and Nate will back me up, probably not the proper wordage on this. He looked like a mentally retarded Bill Burr. He looked in a gray suit he had a vest under a sports coat with a gold chain, redheaded, looked like Bill Burr missing some chromosomes.
Uh-huh.
And I go over and I'm like, hey man, how you doing? He had a lateral lisp. And I was like, how many times, this is how we meet. I go, hey man, nice to meet you. I'm Dan. I'm going to be featuring your MC. And he's like, yeah, yeah. He's at the bar. And I'm like, how many times have you done comedy? He goes, oh man, I've done karaoke like twice. And I was like, okay. So when you bring me up, say Comedy Central Live at Gotham, Dan Soder. And then I'll come out and I'll do my 25 minutes. And he's like, okay, for sure, for sure. So I see him. He's like, this guy's insanely nervous. There's no one at this Thursday show.
Yeah.
Nate sells arenas now like they're fucking comedy clubs. This is when he was selling no tickets.
Yeah.
There's no one at this show except this guy's family and then a couple other tables. He gets on stage and immediately goes, oh, fuck. These lights is bright as fuck. These lights, fuck. These lights are so fucking bright. And I'm in the back like hitting Nate. Like, yeah. I can't say anything. I can't curse, but this guy's just dropping F-bombs. Guy does maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Full cussing.
Thank God, though, that he did 2 minutes total.
And then brings me up by saying Dan Soder from Comedy Central's Live at Gotham sits in the front row, heckles me.
Oh.
And I'm up there, and he's heckling me, and I look, I know Nate's in the back, and I go, what are you doing? He's like, ha ha. Because I was starting to get the crowd.
Yeah.
I was like it was starting to become a comedy show.
His family.
And his family and everyone. And he was like getting into it. And he's like, fuck that. And I was like, all right. And then when I finished, that was when my biggest joke was that Russian joke. And I went like, ha-ha. I went, thank you, good night. And he's like, and I was like, hey, come back up. You got to come back up. Well, now he's had a couple drinks. He goes on stage and does like 16 minutes
between Nate and I.
Dude, it was
wild. Because I was about to say in the beginning, like, thank God his like nervous energy made him only do 2 minutes.
No, dude, rather he came back long. A little drunk and was like, I'm gonna stretch this out.
Oh, no.
It was wild. That was one of the craziest weekends I've ever seen in my life. Where now where I see Nate doing what he's doing, I go, he deserves that. I watched that happen.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that room sat over 400 people.
No.
And when we showed up and that Dennis guy was talking to us, he was like, good news though. This was in January. He goes, good news. We got a Christmas party that held over, sold out Saturday early show. And Nate are like, let's go. 400 people. This will be great.
Yeah.
We're at Buffalo Wild Wings that Saturday and we're eating and we're like, who's the game tonight? And we're like, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, playoff game. They're a Steelers town. We show up. Out of the 400 people, there's maybe 50 people in the showroom.
No.
Everyone else is in the bar watching the Steelers Ravens game. Because this is before you could just watch it on your phone.
Yeah.
So everyone is at the bar. So, and for some reason, how it timed out, my set was at halftime. So they all went into the room. I had a great show.
Yeah.
And then I finish in the second half starts. And I watched Nate's set being like, this is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. He was doing a set for like 25 people and the bar was reacting to the game while he was doing his set.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts.
That's brutal.
But I always think about that MC was like, oh yeah, that's the kind of guy that would probably write me now and go, yo, you should have a tag on this end of this thing.
Yeah.
And it was like,
do you think he talks about that? Like he sees
I think he's dead.
Yeah.
I think that guy's probably dead.
Yeah.
I think he probably either got, you know, probably Narcan back alive a couple times and then, or he's doing well. He pulls his tongue in now and he says things like spaghetti and slip and slide.
I love that you knew lateral lisp.
Oh, it's where the tongue bleeds out. It's where the tongue bleeds out to the sides. There's the front one where the tongue goes.
I love a front lisp.
That's the cute one on kids.
It's cute, yeah.
It's where the tongue, but the lateral lisp is the one that makes my heart. I feel the most for.
Yeah.
Because it's adults with lateral lisp.
Yeah.
And your tongue is just getting in the way.
It's got to be tough to be an adult, like willing to go to speech therapy.
Oof. And then to tell your coworkers,
yeah.
Well, I got speech therapy on Thursdays. And they go,
but I think
they do you? They know they go, oh, why is that? Is it because your essence is tough? Just say, you're like, what's that? It's a sucker and suffrage dash.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, please stop doing that. You're really hurting my feelings. But imagine cleaning it up and like the first time you go like,
yeah.
I said that's slippery. It's like when I got LASIK and I was just outside like, look at the street signs.
Can you read that?
Yeah.
I can read that.
It's slick. It's slick and it's, yeah. They're like, stop bragging. We get it. You fixed it.
I don't know. I'd never had any sort of lisp.
No speech impediments?
No speech. I mean, but here's what I will say that I have only noticed because of comedy and people commenting on it. I didn't realize I like do S. I like whistle my S's.
Oh, you're kind of like the pervert in Family Guy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, strong arm.
I never noticed it.
That's so funny. God, that was, it was like the, in Winnie the Pooh, it was the mole.
Oh.
Do you remember the mole in Winnie the Pooh?
No, I didn't even know that was a character.
Yeah, he would talk like that. He'd be like, well, shaking. He'd be like, do you know where rabbit went? He meant,
that's the annoying thing about comedy or like doing anything public is you notice things about yourself that you would have never noticed. Like people bring things.
Sometimes I text him because he'll clip the show.
Yeah.
And then I'll send it to him and I'll go, the amount of times I say that, you'll say something funny and I'll go, that's so funny. It makes me want to kill myself
because also,
it's like an autistic tic,
yes.
Where it's my brain literally checking the joke and going, that is very funny.
Uh-huh. Noted, acknowledged. I see you. I hear you.
I agree with what you have just said. It's humorous.
I also notice while I'm doing this. Yeah. Now I'm noticing that because I brought it the fuck up.
But I love that you said it because, hey. Strong arm.
And then
got any good news for me today?
Dan Schroeder.
Dan Schroeder's
podcast.
What is it? Do you know what it is? What's causing that?
It.
How would you stop that?
It's the way your tongue is moving. Well, like it's on you. You can like.
Do I have to be a lesbian so I can start working on my tongue?
There's only one way out of this is you sucking coos. You got to suck coos on your way out. No, it is. It's all like speech therapy is all about how you move your mouth. Racine's wife is a speech therapist.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's got a great job. He's great joke about Staten Island speech therapist. And she's like, now say it again with me. The dog went out. It's very funny. But yeah, it's like all, you have to like learn how to like move. Cause yours is just probably like the way you just.
I don't even know. I was like looking at myself in the mirror, trying to talk without doing it. And it's not.
It's like trying to watch yourself dance.
I love watching myself
do
dance.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm a good dancer.
You want me to call something gay? The fastest I'll call something gay is me and dancing. I go, stop it. Stop it. Like I'm John Lithgow in Footloose. Uh-huh. I'm like, stop fucking dancing. Dude, one time we were at, we went to Shane's Halloween party in Pennsylvania last year. And Katie and I dressed up as the Sticky Bandits.
Who are the Sticky
from Home Alone?
Oh, Marvin. Okay. Yes.
She did great.
I didn't know they had a name.
They're like the Wet Bandits and then the Sticky Bandits.
Oh.
Yeah, the Marvin Harry. And we dressed up as Marvin Harry, but Shane's girlfriend invited all of her hot friends. So that became the distraction. So we were just dressed like the bad guys from Home Alone. And we thought it was really funny that these young hot girls were watching Marv freak on Harry and being like she was like dropping it on me. And I was like, damn, but I had so much fun. She said this the next day, she goes, you were like dancing, like having fun dancing. And I was like, because I was in costume, I felt like, well, no one knows. I'm fucking dance, whatever.
It's dancing. Sam Elliott tuckered out. It was
exactly
way.
It.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I feel like dancing. Yeah. And I feel like dancing with you. And then I was like, I fucking let it loose. Yeah. But I had so much fun. Dancing's a lot of fun.
Dancing's a blast.
And guys, I know it's gay, but it's fun.
It's a blast.
Do it.
I was performing the other night and I'm like trying to work on this thing where guys are so afraid of things they do seeming gay.
Yeah,
and
we were just talking about this with Dana Gould where I said the gayest thing is it's all for other men.
Yeah.
It's just like you're like doing this for other men.
And all of the things that straight men think are gay are just things that are fun.
It's releasing
and I'm
yourself.
Like, have fun.
It's crazy. I didn't know, and this is interesting with me. I asked this question to Louis Katz, very long-term friend. And I have a lot of long-term friends that are shorter Jewish men. And I asked him, why are you guys always so horny? All my friends that are short Jewish guys love sex.
Yeah.
And he immediately was like, because there's no shame in the Jewish religion about sex. And I went, dog, I didn't even realize people are out here having sex, enjoying it.
Yeah.
Not just doing it to do it and then have it be done. Uh-huh. There's people who fuck and they go like, this is like, it's like stretching.
Yeah.
Like I didn't realize until I was in my 40s, stretching rules.
I love stretching.
I stretch my hips every morning.
What are you doing? In bed or out of bed?
In bed. I pull my hips up and I like do it across. And
you
I
have
like
some good cracks?
Oh, no cracks because I've been doing it for so long that I'm like, and also I'll sit with my legs crossed and guys, trust me, comment section on this episode, that shit's gay.
I would love to see you crisscross applesauce.
That's how I sit all the time. I can do it. I'll do it.
I don't think I've ever seen a man and a full grown man. That's so sweet.
Yeah. And by the way, it does look juvenile.
So nice.
But guess what? I got hip range, baby.
Yeah.
You know what? You know how much better it is instead of what having hips that are locked. But this is my whole life. I was like, oh, I didn't know people were enjoying sex. I masturbated and I was like, I'm filled with shame. And you go, no, there's people that are like explore. I had an ex-girlfriend that used to do this that I owe her so much because she would be like, will you just relax and enjoy your body? And she'd be like touching me and I'm like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
And she lived here. She lived in LA, but she would be like very much like, just relax, be naked.
That's such an LA thing.
And I'd be like this, I don't know. I remember this girl in Queens that I was dating. I wanted to sleep in my underwear. We had just hooked up and I was putting my underwear back on to go to bed.
Yeah.
And she was like, why are you putting your underwear on? And I was like, go to sleep.
Yeah.
And she was like, sleep? What are you doing? We just had sex, sleep naked. And I was like, I don't want to.
Why? Because you were like embarrassed about being naked?
Well, I was in her bed.
Yeah.
And truth be told, there's nothing sillier than a soft penis is. When you're a man and someone sees your soft penis, that's like, you're seeing me vulnerable.
Yeah, but women, I feel like women are so empathetic.
They are.
I love, there's nothing cuter. You know what's scary? A not soft penis.
Well, for
a
women,
hard penis, that is disturbing.
I know.
It's like, and put we it get away.
Like, it's a weapon.
Yes.
And you're like, whoa, it's like when someone comes in holding a samurai sword, you go, hey, I know you're joking.
Yeah.
This could hurt someone. And they go, oh, look at it. Look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was insecure. And she was like, why are you putting on your underwear? And also the real reason I was insecure wasn't the soft penis. It was because what if I have a poopy butt and I don't know
yes.
it?
Yes.
What if I have a poopy butt?
Because that makes sense to me. I don't want my lips out to the world. I don't want a spider coming into the bed and crawling inside my couch.
I haven't even thought about that. You guys have spider holes.
Yes.
You guys are just fucking constant spider holes on
Imagine
your
body. Imagine getting like a bug bite on your coot and then you just are itching it.
Oh, then you look homeless.
You look like a
train track lady. Yeah. This lady lives on the train tracks.
I don't want elements coming into my.
And it's holes. So funny now because like Katie, we sleep the same. Like I'll sleep in my underwear and she sleeps in her underwear and like a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But we're not like. But when you date people that are very comfortable with their bodies, they're like, be naked.
Yeah.
It's free, and you go, I understand how good that must feel.
Uh-huh.
I can't do it.
You know what I think would be great for you?
What?
Naked dancing in the mirror alone. I think that would like.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I agree with you, Allie. I agree with you. That's gonna have to happen on this tour when I'm in a hotel.
Something powerful.
And I'll tell you when it's gonna happen. I'll tell you when I'm at my closest to dancing naked in a mirror. Smoking a bowl before I get in a shower before the shows.
Yeah.
When I get a little high and I put on some tunes, might be a little Pandora. It's going to have to be Yacht Rock or Billy Ocean Radio.
Yes.
Shout out Billy Ocean Radio. Out of all the oceans, I sail the Billy Ocean. Uh-huh. And Caribbean Queen coming on, and I will do that.
Okay, good.
I'm going to do that.
Please text me afterwards.
I'm going to go. I have freed myself.
Yeah.
And I think it would be good. And honestly, Katie's seen me naked dance. I haven't seen myself naked dance.
Yes, once you see it.
I'll come out with music. Rob Thomas was on the podcast, and I kept playing, give me your heart, make it real. So I'd come out naked, and I'd shake my wiener at her to that. And then it became Myrtle's entrance song into the room.
I think once you're seeing yourself do it, you're going to go through so many waves. It's like, first you're going to be giggling. You're going to be like, this is ridiculous.
I'm gonna be like, who am I?
I'm a dummy.
Who am
what
I?
Am I doing? And then you're going to get into it. You're going to lock in and be like,
oh, this is.
You're going to start like touching yourself and like,
Yeah. Occupado. When they're knocking on the bathroom. No service today, please. And then, but there, like you said, it is cyclical. Then the next stage will be, who are you, you gay wad? What are you doing? Stop
dancing. You know what joke I think about so often?
What?
Dane Cook's joke about crying and then wanting to look at yourself in the mirror crying, but then it makes you stop crying because you're looking at yourself. Yeah. So then you have to try and get sad again to keep it going.
Rework it back. That's such a fantastic joke.
It's so good.
Because you do. You like see it and you go, oh. Oh.
Yeah.
And then you're
like, come on.
That's why I think it's so psychotic talking about your skepticism, the videos of people crying in their cars, because it's like, yo, you had to set that up.
Yes.
And I've seen people make that video where they go, where they show like, I'm having a breakdown and they show the lighting and stuff. And then they go, oh.
I just had this moment where I would never post it, but I wanted proof that I was so emotional and worked up about something. I was performing at Hilarities in Cleveland.
Shout out. Love it. Love the hotel. What's up, Scott? What's up, everybody that works there?
Everybody. But Nick, the owner.
Nick, the owner. Yeah, did you get that baseball bet?
No. No, I didn't sell enough tickets to get any gifts. But Nick, the owner, I love him.
Yeah.
He's so old and he's so funny and like just cares about comedy and is just the most beautiful man. And I love him. And he walked me back to my hotel after the last night And I was honestly like, you can come up here and do what you want. That's like, so I love him so much. And he's just such a gentleman and so sweet. And so I'm inside the hotel. He's outside. I'm waiting for the elevator. We're both like waving. Like, it's like a movie. Like, we both keep looking and waving.
Why?
And when I got into the elevator, I immediately started sobbing.
Why?
Because I'm like, what if I don't see him again?
Oh, I get
he's
that.
In good shape. And I think I'll have at least one more visit.
I understand that. That, like, this is a moment I'll think about.
Like, a fall could take him out. Like, who knows? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But I was just so moved by his...
I get that. You know what it is I had a moment like that with my grandma a couple of years ago where I hugged her. It wasn't even the last time I saw her.
Yeah.
But the way she hugged me, I go, this is going to be... This is what made me cry. Uh-huh. Is I went, this is going to be a moment I think about 10 years from now. Yes. Where I go, I had a moment with my grandmother where I went, I love you. And she said... Thank you for all you do for me. I love you. And then you hugged and I went, go to bed. And I'm here watching your little up the stairs. Yeah. And I was like, and I had that moment where you're like, but you recorded it?
I didn't record. I wasn't like filming myself, okay. But I was like, I'm going to sound crazy if I try and tell someone that I like cried. Like, it just sounds dramatic. So, well, I was like, I just need a photo of me.
Oh, dude.
Cry. And then it's like, of course, I like kind of am trying to look like beautiful in the photo. Like, I'm still trying to be like kind of cute.
You're like,
So I'm like, no one will see
I'm
this.
I'm so sad, but am I?
Yeah.
Am I really sad? Oh, you caught, that's what a lot of it is like, oh, you caught me doing this really cool thing. Everything is porn. That's what I've been talking about on stage. Everything is porn. Everything is set up where it's like, this is such a situation that you caught me in. Once you find out all those videos are fake and shit, you're just like, man, fuck everybody.
Yeah.
It really does give you this like nihilistic view. The only thing that I trust is videos with animals.
No, those are the ones you shouldn't trust.
No, but let me.
Those are the least trustworthy.
Because you think they're trained? I'm talking about like when a dog goes nuts for a trash guy.
Oh,
and they
yeah,
go,
no,
my that's... golden retriever loves our trash guy. And I go, we don't deserve dogs.
Yeah, those
when they're
are
just
sweet.
Like nice. Oh, God.
But like the bunnies on the trampoline were AI.
That was AI.
That was AI.
Oh, brother. You want to talk about it, and that used to be a bit of mine, but animals being friends that shouldn't be friends.
Yeah, that's
here's an elephant and a golden retriever that for some reason, or like this golden retriever grew up around all these puma cubs, and now they think she's her mom, and you're like, ah, I live for that.
Yeah.
Humans on the internet, kick rocks.
My sisters, for the first time, have thought that I was maybe on the autism spectrum.
Okay.
Because we were just on a trip in Montana.
Beautiful.
And there were so many dogs out and about.
Yeah.
And so I stopped to pet almost every single one of them.
Great.
Not the ugly ones. I do have limits. I don't think all dogs are beautiful.
No, they aren't.
Some dogs are really gross and I won't even acknowledge the dog exists.
I feel bad because when my prejudice comes out for ugly dogs, it's I'm very cold to them and I don't like being cold to a dog.
I don't mind.
Really?
Yeah, if I see ugly, it, I go, I'm like, I'm not gonna pet you. I'm not gonna
I go, and that makes me think everyone thinks that about you, which makes me think you don't have the right amount of pets. So I feel then like I need to pet you because everyone else is going, this ugly motherfucker, I'm not gonna pet him. And then I go, oh, I don't want to.
But here's my thing.
And cute dogs are just, come on, I see how my dog gets it. She's just living in it.
But the ugly dogs I do like because they're ugly. It's the dogs that I won't pet. I won't pet a doodle.
Yeah, we get
it. They're too, like, basic. They're like a fake manicured dog. I like
it's
a fucked
like,
up dog.
Listen, I understand you love your doodle. My mom had a doodle for 17 years.
They're cute. They're great. They're fine.
It is the picture of all the white women in the tan hats with the tan boots.
Uh-huh.
You're a basic bitch.
Yeah. Pumpkin spice poodle.
Pumpkin spice ass poodle.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to catch heat for it, but you know what? You got
to
hear the
I'm
fucking truth.
I'm willing to die on that hill.
Guess what? I dance
cancel
naked.
Cancel me.
Yeah. Cancel me.
I don't like your golden doodle. Sorry.
I don't know if you heard, but I dance naked in the mirror. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
I'm allowed to say what I want.
I say what be but,
free speech.
But man, I'll tell you what. You know what really changed you about a doodle?
Yeah.
Big eyes. Big eyes
like
on a doodle.
Big eyes.
And then you lock in, you go, come on. Yeah. Or if I go to pet a dog, I go side hand on their face. If they push
like
in.
Like a horse.
Yeah. Yes. If they push in. There is no dog ugly. I'm there.
Do dogs go in your crotch or just mine?
That dog yesterday went in that crotch when we were going to CVS. Remember that big ass fucking bulldog? And I was like, ah, I think women, it goes in your crotch okay. more.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like, at first I was like, oh, maybe it's because I'm a stinky girl. Because I know that about myself. I'm like kind of a stinky girl. I don't shower every day, whatever.
Sure.
So I'm like, when the dog goes to the crotch, I go, yeah, of course.
I'm a stinky girl.
Yeah, of course. But then if I shower and the dog still goes, I'm like, okay, do I need to go to the guy now? Like, is it internal? Like, is it deep within me?
I'm such a hypochondriac that if a dog sniffs me too much, I go, is this one of those cancer dogs?
Yeah.
Like, wait, does this know?
I have a joke about that right now because my dog will sometimes lay directly on top of me and I go, oh, great, I have one of these gifted disease smelling dogs. He'll like look me in the eyes and lay directly on me and I'm like, I have a special sickness smelling dog.
Since we're sharing our weird shit that we do. He knows the setup. Usually where we do the podcast in our apartment, there's Myrtle's kennel, right? Pimp. And you know where the window is. So I get, you know, every night I get high and I play video games and we open that window and I smoke a joint and Myrtle always is in her kennel when I play video games, just playing her. Sometimes she will come out of her kennel and she'll look out the window and we're on the 30, like we're high up. She looks out the window and gets alarmed in a way that I'm high that I go, is she seeing a UFO? Is she seeing a UFO and it's cloaked to human eyes, but dog eyes? Because there's that new horror movie coming out called Good Boy about a dog that sees a demon and it's through the perspective of the dog, which no thanks.
Yeah, that sounds bananas.
No,
perspective of a dog. And
it's like, watch the trailer. It's freaky. Like you see the demon coming up and the dog.
But it's like the camera, like ground level.
They do
level.
A little of that. And then they do like, they do some found footage and they also do some other shit. From what I can tell, I might be wrong, but she'll come out of her kennel and then she'll freak out and come up on the couch around me. And then now I'm fucking spinning.
Yeah.
And I go, what did you see in the sky?
It's weird that you go to UFO because mine is like a haunted, like colonial woman.
Sure. Mine is New York City. They're going to have a cloaking device. You think a UFO is going to float around like it's fucking Omaha, Nebraska?
Yeah.
They can go bras off in Omaha. You're in New York. You better have a bustier on because motherfuckers are staring up at the sky a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I just worry. That's my worry that like Myrtle sees aliens and she's kind of like, you know, because man, if she got sucked out of that window by a flying saucer.
What if she committed to?
Ooh, I've thought about that. So,
imagine her just jumping off.
Oh, dogs committed.
She left like a little note in her kibble.
Oh, she was like, this was hell.
Yeah.
She goes, Myrtle was here.
I think my dog's depressed.
Why? Heavy sighing?
Yeah, heavy sighing.
Dogs sigh, though.
He's got sad eyes. If you saw, people have commented, they go, he looks sad.
Oh, man. Don't you always take that personal?
A little. I'm like, we love him.
We
give him everything.
We used to live in Hoboken, and there was this dog, it's a really good dog park that we really loved going to. And this, like, model, this, like, lady. There were people in Hoboken that were, like, just normal. It was just, like, normal people. And then there were, like, these, like, really expensive buildings with people that you could tell had a fucking shit ton of money that were like down by the water. So their like penthouse looks out at Manhattan. And this woman, you could tell, like always came dressed immaculate. Hair was always perfect. You could tell she was like either herself rich or dating a very wealthy guy. And she had like a, almost like a husky mix. Very
Huskies I don't like.
Yeah.
If I see a husky, I'm not petting it.
Why?
They smell, they're hairy, they shed, they drool.
Those are all dogs.
Gross.
Those are all dogs.
I will not pet your husky.
I will. And I'll go, and your dog will go, this guy's.
Wow, you do dog impressions good too.
Dog voices.
It's not just humans.
Mm.
You got huskies down. You got such a good bass.
But we're at the dog park and Myrtle needed a haircut.
Yeah.
And she's already kind of like, she already looks like.
Can you do a Myrtle impression? Now I'm really fat.
I'm fat. Give me a treat.
What's your dog's voice?
We don't have one.
I can't figure out my dog's voice.
It's the hardest to find your own. I still owe my friend and his kids. They love that I do the voices for their dogs. So I'll send them voice notes of like, oh, I think Ranger's voice would be this. Yeah. And then I'll have it sometimes and I'll change it. I still owe. So Jenna, if you're watching this, I will send a voice memo soon to the kids because they get like upset. They're like, Uncle Soda hasn't sent new dog voice. But Myrtle, we used to do Southern because she's from Nashville.
Okay.
She's from Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
So we used to have Miss Myrtle. oh, Miss Myrtle. And then it became Scottish because of the eyebrows, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But we don't really have it because she's her own. She flies by her own, you know, sails. Yeah.
Me and my boyfriend have very different ideas of our dog.
Got it. What's your idea of it?
Like, my idea of my dog is like, he's like maybe like a professor, like an old
studious.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. But like a little bit more like not as peppy as that.
Oh.
Like a little more slow because he's sad.
Oh, the so understanding kind of, that the world.
Yeah.
You must understand that everything that
but
lives.
But then he's also kind of gay, which I think everyone thinks their dog is gay.
Yes, but I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Life isn't really worth living unless he sounds like a old poet.
Yes.
Like a 17th century poet.
Totally.
Where he's like, if I was to live, it would be to die. Why
That's
would...
what I think it is.
And what does your boyfriend think it is?
Like a sassy gay man.
Like, bitch!
Yeah,
you better
totally.
Look out. Which is fun because my mom, R.I.P. Riley. Riley, we said, was a little gay man.
I had and a dead had, Riley.
Yeah.
Who was a gay dog.
And he was very like, bitch!
Yes!
I used to call him, it was a boy dog, but I'd call him my sister. I'd go, here's my sister, Riley.
We thought our dog, Riley, was like a gay man, but like kind of maybe closeted transgender.
Oh, so
we
he's like, there's a lot that you don't understand about what
yes.
I'm going through. It's
yes.
very fun. Yeah. Myrtle does have a little lesbo energy.
Yeah.
She's got it like, hey, I don't know. She humps.
So, I love a dog that humps.
So I'd probably do Myrtle a little more masculine, probably Dom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a, mm-hmm. probably like a butch.
She's got a tool belt.
Yeah, where she goes, hey, I think that's pretty cool. I'm pumped about the upcoming WNBA playoffs. And honestly, I just love Carol. Carol and I get along. We eat each other's pussies.
Wait, so Myrtle humps.
Yeah.
And do you...
She does it when people don't pay attention at the dog park, when dogs don't pay attention to her.
And do you like acknowledge it or do you let
oh.
it happen?
Oh, I break it up immediately.
Oh, okay. Why?
Other people freak out about it.
Yeah, why?
Because they don't know it's a girl at first, and their initial thing is it's...
Okay.
They think their dog is good. So I have to go, no, she's just a little lesbo. She just thinks you're little...
She saw your dog from across the park.
She started singing a little Melissa Etheridge as she walked over to pump your dog. Uh-huh. She was just singing some lesbo tunes.
I like watching people get humped by dogs.
Watching people?
Yeah.
No,
like
it's
yeah.
traumatic for me.
I think it's so funny to see how people react to it.
I used to walk to school in
yeah.
elementary school, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was walking to school. Scott LeCaptain, who lives in, real government name, lives in Los Angeles. He can, in fact, last time we had dinner, he brought this story up. We were walking to school and we were like, we're looking at the school. We're in the field on the other side of the playground, and out of fucking nowhere, a golden retriever runs up, puts its paws on my back shoulders, and starts trying to fuck me. Johnny Jones and Scott LeCaptain, my two friends that were with me, think this is the funniest thing ever. I'm like, no! And I have a golden retriever at home.
Uh-huh.
So it was like I was getting molested by a family member.
Yeah.
So I'm like, get away from me! And the dog was like, paws like arms,
uh-huh.
like a human in a dog suit
yeah.
would. And I was like, and they think it's the funniest thing. And they're going, Sawyer's getting humped. Sawyer's getting humped. So that's why I'm like, I don't like dogs humping people, man. Fuck that.
And that's why you wear underwear to sleep
yeah.
at night.
I'm not letting a golden retriever mm-hmm. butt fuck me in my mm-hmm. sleep with this little red rocket.
Damn. I just think it's so funny when people get humped, how they react.
Dude,
because they like look around, they think that like someone's actually having sex with them. Meanwhile, it's like a little Pomeranian on their arm, and
yeah.
they're like, "I don't want this. I don't want this." It's like no one thought you.
Yeah,
did.
No one's like, "Oh fuck, look yeah. at this. Oh, should I
you
push
keep
back?
Putting your arm back?
Yeah, you push back. You're like, oh, fucking take that. What is that? What are you fucking doing? Yeah, it is. Dogs humping you is the funniest one. Is Katie and I were watching something on TV one time, and it was cringy. It was like a lady singing. On a thing where she wasn't a singer. She was interviewing Garth Brooks and she started singing and we both were like, oh, we were both like, oh, and Katie literally was so cringy. Katie jumped over the couch because she's like, I can't watch this. She's joking around. She jumps over the couch and I'm like, no. And Myrtle at the moment was like, this is my time to seize power.
Yeah.
She just grabbed my leg and started trying to
yeah.
fuck it. And I go, Katie, look at the dog. And she's like, eh. And I went, what are you doing? And Myrtle was like, what's up? And I snapped out of it. And she's like, you guys are cool. Yeah. What's going on? I don't know. I thought people were freaking out. I don't know.
It's so funny.
Yeah. And then one time we left Myrtle with Katie's mom. And when we picked her up, she goes, yeah, Myrtle would like rub a chest on my leg. And Katie was like, mom, she was humping your leg.
Yeah.
She was like, no, she would grab it and she'd rub it on a chest. And you're like, no, she was full
she's
on.
She's fully humping you.
Fucking.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see it, you go, at a dog park, you got to go, nah! Like you have to run across and be like, no, 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 no.
Well, someone brought like a dog. What's the girl when they don't get fixed? Is it spayed or neutered?
Spayed, it's spayed. Spayed. Neutered is boys, spayed is
okay,
girls.
So there was a girl dog with like full pussy.
Yeah,
like,
dude, it's crazy. Like it when they're like, in heat, yes. They like, they'll, it's truly like
it
animal kingdom.
Crazy.
They go nuts.
And this person brought their dog in heat to the park. And so all these dogs are going crazy.
They want that punani.
Oh my God. It was so funny to watch. I think
you're like Bella the ball.
Well, because you see, like, I think the reason why it's funny is because it's like humans have so many layers of like what's good to do, what's not good to
do. Also, you have to like introduce yourself.
Yes.
You have to go to dinner.
Yeah.
You have to have conversation.
And so to just see a dog be like, I fucking want your leg fucking bad. I'll do anything for your fucking leg. Give me your fucking leg. So,
I'm hot because you're in heat.
It's incredible.
Yeah, you're like, it is so very funny. I was staying with my uncle in Aspen. He used to live outside of Aspen, Carbondale.
Okay.
Very nice, very she. He had a really nice house and he had a backyard that was property. But it had a fence. Mm-hmm. It had like a wood fence within like a chain link around it because of all the animals. You're in the Rockies. There's like a ton of shit, snakes and shit. And he had a golden retriever and she was in heat. And he and his wife went out to this New Year's Eve dinner. And I remember this specifically. It was New Year's Eve, 97 into 98. And Chris Rock, or no, it was 99. When was it? It was Bring the Pain. Chris Rock's Bring the Pain. And he put it out. So it might have been like 96 into 97. And I was obsessed with it. Like he had HBO. We didn't have HBO. And I put it on and I was like, it was like, young people won't understand this. Before digital cable, if you caught the back end of something, that was it. You just had to watch it. And you had to hope that maybe it started again from the beginning. Because you couldn't just go to the beginning or dial it up on demand.
Yeah.
You had to like watch it. So what happened was, it was the end of Bring the Pain. And I was watching it and I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then it started from HBO was just playing it again. So I went, sick, I'm going to watch this whole special. My uncle, before he went to dinner, was like, watch the dog. Like, if you let her out, watch the dog. And I was like, totally. And I let her out and then just watched over an hour of Chris Rock doing stand-up.
No.
Couple months later, like no more than a month later, he's like, hey, my dog's pregnant. Because she was in heat, wild dogs like came to the fence and then fucked her through the fence.
No.
I don't know how. I didn't see
prison
it. I wasn't
style.
There. But she, prison style, like a CO. Like when a CO gets caught fucking a prisoner. Like, dude, straight up through the bars.
They brought the pain.
Yeah, they brought the pain and got her pregnant.
Oh my goodness.
And he was so mad at me. He was like, dude, what the fuck?
What kind of dogs? What dog?
It was like a mix. It was like a black dog. It was like literally like a wild dog that was like just living up in the mountains. And it just fucking got her pregnant.
That's wild.
And I still try to deny that it was my fault.
There must be.
So this is me admitting it.
We must have, like, as human people, there must be, like, I know that we have pheromones.
For sure.
But I'm like, is a woman in heat, like, when she's on her period, do guys smell, like, the nickels? And they're like,
I think it is, like, I think it's in different ways. Like, I think it's maybe not that. But I think it's, like, women, like, I think big tits are a sign that you're like, oh, that woman is, can make babies.
Milk, yeah.
Or she can make babies. Like, she's got the feed bags on her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Feed bags, such a horrible word for tits. But it is like, I think it's something like that. You know what always is?
But I'm like, is there a time? Like, because we.
You know what
we,
I think about? And I know this is gross and I know this is, but I remember the obsession with Britney Spears. I remember her being like 17, 18 years old and people being like feral about it. Being like, yo, Britney Spears, like America was feral for that woman. And then she had kids and it stopped.
Yeah.
And people were like, you had your kids. And
so
then she was crazy.
Do you think it's just an age thing that's the heat, or it's not like a monthly thing where it's like when I'm on my period?
I don't think
period.
It's a monthly thing. I think it's like an age thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's why barely legal, like all that shit.
Yeah.
Like 22-year-old girls are, because it's like, oh, you're just fucking ready to shoot a baby out.
Yeah.
And that's why they're like, we're mean to women in their 40s. Because we're like, well, you don't have a kid. And you go, oh, she has a very good career and she's a wonderful person. But I think the animal part of our brains is like, fuck. Babies. That's like cheerleaders and shit. Because you're like, oh, you're fucking, you're ready to have a baby. That's our in heat.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think for dudes, it just doesn't end. And old men, because we can make babies till you're like 70. So they're just like, that's why older men date younger women. Because they're like, look at her. She's in heat.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if they called it that. Where you're like, oh, she's in heat. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah? You go, that kind of gets me hot.
I want someone to see me and be like, are you in heat? I have this urge.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know we just met, but are you in heat? Or just girls going, sorry, I'm in heat. And this is like a lot of guys being like, can I buy you a drink?
I'm in heat.
Yeah, you know, especially living in LA. You see like an old guy, dude. I saw the fucking living in New York in the neighborhood I live in. Sometimes you see older dudes with young, like third wives, you know what I mean? Where they're just like, and they're always, this is what I always notice about them. The guys always want to touch the young hot girls and the girls do not like it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. They can say like, hey, I'm mature for my age. This guy was walking down by Broadway, like right around the corner from my thing, where the Flatiron building is. And he was like rubbing this girl's shoulder and he was like, ooh. And she was like, I swear to God, Allie, she was like 22 years old and she was incredibly beautiful. Might've been European. And he was like older and he was just like, ooh. And she was just like not feeling it. That was in heat.
Yeah.
Cause he was like, oh, and she's like, and she's like, he's like, run on your pussy. And she was like, stop fucking touching me. And the last time I came out to LA, dude, I have pictures in my phone. I'll show you. There was, when I see shit in public, this is, I don't know if you're like this with your boyfriend, but when I see shit in public, in my head, I go, I can't wait to tell Katie about this so we can shit on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting to fly to LA and there was a young, hot girl with like, scattered tattoos, super beautiful, weird bangs, that like kind of thing where they go, I'm so hot I can give myself a fucked up haircut and you'll still want to fuck me.
Yep.
And then this like Jersey Guido, older dude, big belly, overly tan, just dripping in jewelry. He couldn't stop touching her at the gate. And I was like, oh, and then we got in the seat and they were sitting in first class too. And the amount of times they called each other baby, where he's going, yeah, baby. So you want to put it? And Katie and I do that as a joke. We'll go, yeah, you want to order breadsticks, baby? We always do disgusting shit with that voice.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to go puff candy, baby. So I text Katie, I go, dude, older guy, younger girl, babying the shit out of this. And she was like, please keep me informed. And then I watched this girl with her phone do like the shit where she was like taking the, and then I watched her on TikTok do the like Delta menu and like zoom in and then like show like the slippers they give you. And I was like, oh, this girl's fucking for this ticket.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the partition in between.
It better have been one of those fully reclined laid back.
It was okay. Delta one.
How sad would it be to like hook up with a guy just for like
comfort
slightly
plus?
More inclined? just a wider seat.
For leg room? Yeah. For comfort plus to LA? No, I have this on my, I got to show you these pictures. Because I sent it to Katie and I was like, dude, this girl is full on like doing videos. And then he would reach over and try to touch her.
Yeah.
And she would be like, she would just like let him. Here, let me find it. Because I sent it, oh, here it is. That's her making the videos in the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and it's so funny because she did a TikTok. And then I noticed in her TikTok that it's just me in my 49ers hat, just like looking at my phone.
Yeah.
But I could see her screen because she didn't have a screen protector on it. So
I
was
Do you
just
have
like,
a screen protector on yours?
Yeah, you don't?
No, I do. Oh, but people are like, oh, I was just with my sisters and they're like, that's so sketchy. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything weird. I'm just talking shit about people constantly. I don't want people anytime.
Also, what kind of voyeur are you? Do you have blinds at your house?
Yeah.
You have blinds on your window, right?
Yeah.
Then I got a fucking screen protector on my phone. Dude, I live in New York City. Do you know how many people's... I get on the subway. I read people's texts.
Reading everyone's texts. I'm so nosy.
Me too.
I'm so nosy.
And you know how
I'm
you stop like, that? You get a screen protector. And then you get mad. Dude, Katie was trying to read my phone. And she goes, oh, I forgot you had that fucking screen protector on. I go, you bought it for me.
Yeah.
She was the first person that did it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this is great.
I bought one for my boyfriend. And then I remember him using it and me being like, what are you doing on your phone? What are you doing over there? What's going on? What are you?
But it is, it's like for when you're on the subway or a fucking airplane. Dude, Sagalo and I landed at this place and this old woman in front of me was going through her algorithm, but she was doing she was running the circuit. She was going Twitter to Facebook to email to Twitter. Yeah. You know how our brains do that? Yeah. We don't even notice we're jumping from one thing to another. So she did the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And it gave me anxiety.
Yeah.
It was like worse than any trip I've ever had.
You know what I love? Old people, because their font, I could read it from 20 feet away.
Keith Robinson, I can read it literally being downstairs.
And also old people, send the craziest texts. Yeah. They're so horny.
And they're big and they're like, oh, dude.
They're mean and they're horny. Oh. They're mean and they're horny.
And they go, I want to get away and make love to your bottom.
Yeah, they act like it's like a war letter. Yeah. They're like, once I see you back.
I need you, my darling.
Yeah.
I need you. We've gone past the time that we've rented the studio. Mm. Sorry.
Well, I won't be covering the overtime.
You owe us $50.
Fuck.
Ali Makovsky is one of my favorite comedians. You're fucking hilarious. Make sure you follow her. Go follow her on Instagram. Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah.
What do you have to plug?
Come see me on the road. Go to alimakovsky.com. You should see me do comedy live.
You should. I'm vouching. She's fucking
this
hilarious.
This is all I wanted from Neil Brennan, and I got it from you, so thank you, Dan. Bam.
And now I learned I'm going to dance naked in a hotel mirror.
Yes.
Ain't no telling me, and I ain't touching your fucking poodle.